That was a wonderful song, wasn't it? I just can't hear that song all day. So good to see all of you here this morning. And if you're watching at home, thank you for doing that. So happy that you are joining us in this wonderful Sunday morning in September that we are enjoying the fall weather. The first time that I translated in Mexico, in Yucatan, was for a Canadian brother who came to preach to us by the name of Dryden Sinclair. He was the director of the Western Christian Foundation in Wichita Falls, Texas. And so he came to my home congregation and he said, I need somebody to translate for me. My brother was the translator, but at that time he had already come to the United States. And so there was nobody else, and there I am with my middle school English. Somebody said, David speaks English, his brother speaks English, so let's put him in there. So I go in there, and I stand up next to this brother. Of course, you know, I'm like about this high, and he's like this tall. And he starts tearing a piece of paper, and he says, in this paper, can you put the things that you have done for Christ this week? I thought he was asking me that question. I said, I don't know. He said, can you put in this paper the things that you've done for Christ this week? And then he would look at me. And I'd be like, I don't know. So he was a little frustrated, but he kept his calmness. And he says, can you put in this paper the things you've done for Christ this week? And I said, yeah, I think I can. He said, say what I'm saying. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I was supposed to be translated. That's how ADD I am, okay? But no, but it was just the beginning of a cruel 45 minutes standing in there, making up my own lesson, and I have no idea what he said, all right? But nobody else knew because they didn't speak English either. But that was very tough for me. So my brother being in the United States, he calls me later on and he says, I heard that you translated. How did that go? I said, not good. I said, yeah, I wish you would have been here. I don't want to translate anymore. I don't even want to speak English anymore. He's like, I think you'll do fine. So mentoring the next generation, that's what we're going to talk about today. And that lesson has a point. It has a point for what we're going to study today. Translating is not easy. We think it is. But it is not. Translating, when you think of languages, you're like, oh, wow, people speak another language. That must be easy. It's not. So people that speak three languages, man, I tell you, these guys are awesome. We have several here in the church that speak three and four languages. I don't. I speak halfway Spanish, halfway English. So I'm lucky with that. I'm not a good translator, okay? But it's kind of hard to do that. And the reason why it's hard is because you need somebody to be there with you, to teach you, to guide you, to talk to you, to correct you, to be there when you mess up. For me, that person was my brother. He was my mentor in English. When he was in middle school, I was in elementary school. He would say, David, can you help me practice my English? I will grab the book. He says, I'm going to tell you the words and you tell me if it's spelled correctly. So I was helping him with his English just by reading it. And then when I did that translation, he was my biggest encourager. He said, you will do fine. And I know that you will do fine because I know that you're going to keep on practicing. And also I know that you want to be a preacher. And a lot of the great materials, a lot of great teachers, he was at the Sunset School of Preaching at that time. He said, we have great teachers here and they all speak English. If you want to learn great Bible, I think you're going to learn English. Well, here I am. Speaking halfway English, I had a good mentor. I had somebody that encouraged me to make a difference in my life. Can you think of someone that has made a difference in your life? Maybe a teacher, maybe a Bible class teacher, maybe a sibling, a grandfather, maybe an uncle, maybe an aunt, maybe somebody who just took the time to listen to you, to encourage you when you were in your lowest points. Can you think of someone like that? Now, let me point something out to you. Can you see yourself being someone like that? Can you picture yourself being that person that encourages the next generation to come, that they can do something great, that they can believe in themselves and work on themselves so that they can do something better? And that's the whole point of this lesson this morning, that we're going to study about how to do that to the next generation. But this is also what I want you to think about. When you think about the next generation, is the first thing that comes to your mind, is it millennials? Is it maybe the centennials? The next generation is the generation below you. That means that there are people my age that are 25 that need, I'm 44, that need mentors. There are people my age with kids that need mentors. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize today. And I hope that you can see that, that many people at any age, it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be little kids. It can be grown-ups. We need somebody that can spend time with us and tells us, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be there to help you. That's how I know it's going to be okay. So, in the book of Acts, chapter 15, starting in verse 36 through 41, we can find the story of Paul and Barnabas. Paul decided, we have been establishing churches. We have been converting people. Now it's time to go back and encourage them. He said, who else to go than the brother of encouragement, Barnabas? Let's go do that. Barnabas says, that's great. But I tell you what, let's take John Mark with us. Because I think he's a great guy. Paul says, I don't think so. John Mark deserted us. He left us. He's not reliable. I just don't think he will be fit for mission work. I just don't think he will be fit, and I'm adding my words here. I don't think he'll be fit for the work that needs to be done in the kingdom of God. Barnabas says, no, brother, I think he can. And Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways because of one person, because of John Mark. What John Mark needed was somebody to believe in him. That person was Barnabas. Because look what it says in 2 Timothy 4:11. In 2 Timothy 4:11, okay, the second book of Timothy, the second letter of Timothy, is the last book or the last letter that Paul wrote while he was alive. And he's getting close to the last few things that he's going to tell the church, the last few things that he's going to tell Timothy. And he tells him this very important thing. Please get John Mark because he is useful to me. How about that? How did John Mark went from being useless to being useful? How did John Mark get from, I don't want anything to do with you, to, please, I really need him with me right now. I know I'm in my last days. My time is short. I need this brother with me. I want us to see the potential in every person, that everyone at any age can go from useless to useful. Because that is one of the biggest problems that we encounter in our times today. We think to ourselves that there is nothing that we can provide in the kingdom of God. That there is nothing that we can do in this life. Therefore, we live in a rut every day sometimes thinking, all I have to do is eat, drink, and sleep. And let me tell you, that is the biggest lie if that's what you believe. God has a big plan for your life. The day that you were made, God had big plans for your life. But sometimes what we needed was somebody that can believe in us, somebody like a mentor. So today, how can we go from useless to useful? So what is a mentor? Is it a teacher? It takes correction. It tells you what you're doing wrong. It helps you. It directs you to do what is right. Is it a tutor? Somebody who emphasizes in one aspect of your life and says, this is what you need to do in your career. This is what you need to do with your life. This is where you need to direct your steps. The book of Galatians, chapter 4, I believe, it reminds us that the law was for us a tutor to lead us to Christ. It was a guide. It was someone that was supposed to just direct us to the point and say, you cannot do this on your own. You are going to need somebody to help you as you're trying to follow God's commands, and that person is Christ. So when Christ came, the people that knew the law, they were supposed to say, I am glad that you are here. You are the one that God sent to help me. But that didn't happen, did it? It didn't happen because most of the people there, they were like, I know what I'm doing. I know what is right. In fact, Jesus, I don't know who you are, but you're wrong. They didn't recognize the person that God has sent for them so that they can get to heaven. And sometimes that can be the case. What is a mentor? A mentor is all of those. But mentor also is about relationship. It's about someone that cares deep enough for you that wants to spend time with you. Time is the one thing that we cannot get back ever. What we do today, the time that has gone, is not coming back. What happened last week is not coming back. So for us to dedicate some time to someone in their life is very special. For that reason, a lot of us, a lot of men, a lot of women, a lot of adults, we struggle with this, with time management. Where are we spending our time? How are we spending our time? Because we are not getting it back. We're trying to do everything at once. We're trying to do so much that we forget about the most important thing in life, that is people. The people that our Jesus died for. We need to be spending time with people. God lives in community. God lives with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When they created the world, when Jesus came to this world, when he ascended into heaven, he's still in community. He meant for us to be in community. He never meant for us to be isolated. This is why you probably have noticed, that your spiritual life may be struggling a little bit right now, or maybe even a lot, because you are meant to be around other people that believe the same things that you do, other people that believe in Christ like you do, other people that love God like you do, and not being able to do that, it puts a strain on our faith. And for that reason, you may have noticed this, that our faith might get colder as the time goes by. But it is time to rekindle it again in our community. This church is our community. This family, it's our community. This congregation, it's our community. This is where we are for each other. That's how God meant it to be. When God said, I want you to have what I have with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what I have, that community, that relationship, that's what I want you to have in this world. And I'm going to put it in one place. And therefore, Jesus established the church. That's where these relationships are meant to happen. This is where these mentorships are meant to happen. This is where the imperfect people that make mistakes get to get their backs sustained. You don't get to be an encourager, without making mistakes. You don't get to be somebody that encourages others without making a lot of mistakes. A mentor is somebody that wants to lead you to something better, that believes that you have something better in your life for you. We need a lot of spiritual mentors. People that say, yes, brother, I've been in that temptation too. Are you dealing with pornography? You know, I've been there too. Are you dealing with drinking? I've been there too. Are you dealing with gossip? I've been there too. Are you struggling loving your husband? I've been there too. Are you struggling loving your wife? I've been there too. Do you have a child with special needs? I've been there too. Do you have a child that has left the faith? I've been there too. That's what we need. We need a community of people that are going through those things, that are able to be there. I know the pain that you're going through, but I am here because I know what that is like, and I want to help you. I want to be there for you. I know what that is like. Mentors are special people that know the pain and the suffering, and they don't want anybody else to go through that. Look at a lot of people that create food banks, that create activities so that other people won't go hungry because they know what it's like to be hungry. Do we know what it's like to be in the hands of Satan while being a Christian? Help someone to get out of there. Be a mentor. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, where Brother Chris read this morning. That is one of the greatest passages that I have ever memorized in 2 Timothy 2:2. Because this is the core of everything that Paul did. This is the core of how he saw people. And he tells Timothy in this letter, once again, his last letter that he ever wrote. And he says, "And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses." You see, somebody, Timothy and other people, were there to see, to observe what Paul was doing. And in many occasions, we forget that other people are looking at us on how we respond, especially as parents. As parents, sometimes I forget that all my responses, my kids will copy that. How do I respond to when somebody messes up my food? How do I respond when my wife is not agreeing with me? How do I respond when my mom passed away? How do I respond when I don't get along with my neighbors or my neighbors are talking bad about us? How do I respond to everything in my life? Kids are watching. People are watching. And that's what Paul is trying to tell Timothy. What you watch me do, this is what I want you to do, not only to do, but I want you to teach other people to respond in the same way. So when you are struggling with your faith, when you have a hard time in your life, the way that Paul responded is the way that I need to respond so that you can respond the same way. The problem that we had with generations, in past generations and these generations that is happening, is that we don't have a good example of people that can set a good pattern for us so that we can respond to that. We respond in what we see. And if all that we see is news, if all that we see is TV, if all that we see is junk, that's how we're going to respond. And let me tell you that I'm talking from experience. And most people know this, but when I was younger, I watched soap operas. We watched those as a family. When 7 p.m. came, that was the soap opera time. Everybody had supper, even in the school, okay? Even in elementary school, kids were talking about what happened to Maria last night. She almost kissed that guy. Did you see that? Yeah, and then she got mad and slapped him in the face. That was awesome. That's the things that we talked about. So guess what? First time we tried to kiss a girl, guess what happened? Got slapped. Yeah, they were watching the same soap opera. Do you get what I'm saying? People will do what they watch. We will do what we watch. Sometimes there are some things that I did not want to copy like my father. But I'm very much like him because I saw him do that and I just did it, adopted it without asking any questions. We are in a crisis, my brothers and sisters. We're in a crisis where we need to lead and help people get led to Christ. The problem is that we are not doing that. We are not doing our job on helping the next generations, the generations below us, to be led to Christ. So that lesson that he asked in my translation when he said, "Does it fit in this paper what you did for Christ?" That made me think after I put it in my mind over and over and over again. And when I told him, "It doesn't, I don't think it goes in there. I want to make sure." And we need to make sure that we fill this paper right here with the things that we can do for Christ this week. Fill it up. What can you do for Christ this week? Will it fit? It won't even fit in here once you really get to think about it. Think of what you can do for the Lord. Be a mentor. Be someone that helps somebody. Jesus mentors his disciples. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, that's when he feeds the 5,000. In that story, I'm not going to get into the story. There's so much to cover there. But one thing that was very important is that Jesus said, there is a crowd here. What are we going to do? Did he not know what was going to happen? Yes, he did. But he was asking them so that they could think, what can I do? And immediately somebody said, we have fish in here. We have a few fish and a few pieces of bread. What can we do? And then Philip's answer kind of got me. He said, Master, he was the mathematician. I didn't even realize that. He said, Master, to feed all these people, it will take about a full year's salary to do that. And we don't have it. He was the finance guy. He was trying to look at the statistics, probabilities. What can we do? What can we afford? What can we not do? But you know what Jesus showed them? He knew what he was going to do and what was going to happen. So guess what he did? He said, just bring everything here and let God take care of it. And after he prayed, all of them were fed and food was left over. And everybody was happy, but the disciples were amazed. This is what's going to happen when you mentor someone. It's not that you are going to be amazed. It's that they are going to be amazed about what they do and about what they can do with the help of God. Because it's not going to be about you. It's going to be about God. The goal of mentoring is pointing people to Christ. And let me brag about my brother once again. Because he'd always helped me when I was doing Hispanic ministry. He'll always say, I'm doing this. Maybe you can try this. And I'm doing this. Maybe you can try that. So when I told him that I'm not going to do Hispanic ministry and I'm going to be doing ministry in English, he said, if anyone can do that, you can. He believed in me. He still believed in me after all that time. I know he was mean when he was young, but but who isn't, right, to their siblings? It's just fun to fight with your siblings. But see, that's what I want you to know, brothers and sisters. We need people in our lives. And please, I want you to be the type of person that can mentor someone that is struggling. Because all of us, at any point, at any time, and let me tell you, this is true of any room or any church that you can go to. We all have had problems with our fathers. We all have had problems with our mothers. There's people that have problems with their children. There are people who have problems with their husbands and their wives, and they need someone. I'm very happy that we are going to be having, and it's going to be in the announcement soon, we're going to be having a single mom support group. You know how hard it is to be a single mom, a Christian single mom? You're struggling to bring the children to Christ, and the husband doesn't want to. When you are divorced, and you're struggling to find time to spend time with your child, but also supporting yourself, you know how hard that is for some of the young ladies? But they are strong. Because they can't quit. But it'll be nice to have some support, wouldn't it? Not necessarily to say, oh, I feel sorry for you. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Mentoring is not about feeling sorry for the person. Say, oh, you cannot do anything for yourself. No, it's the complete opposite of that. It's not pity. Mentorship is about relationship. I know what you can do. I know what God meant for you to do the moment you were born. And I see it. Let me help you bring it. Let me help you be the person that God meant for you to be. The disciples, that's what Jesus did for them. Think about Peter. Think about John. Think about those heroes of faith. How did they start? And how did they end up? Everything they did was for the cause of Christ. Do you feel needed? Because if you don't, let me tell you, you are. You are needed. People need you more than you think you do. Your children need you. Your spouse needs you. Your friends need you. This church needs you. We all are needed. When we continue reading in Timothy, he says, teach faithful men to do this as well, so that they can teach others. You see what happens here in mentorship. You cannot think that nobody needs you. Someone needs you in their life. I have had so many people in my life that have helped me, especially coming here in the United States. I cannot tell you how many mistakes culturally I made. And if it wasn't for those people, I don't think I'd be a functioning person in society. We all need someone that can help us, guide us through the culture. Texas culture is different than Alabama culture. Big time. Big time. I'm not saying that one is better than the other. It's just different. But where you live, you got to adjust to the culture, don't you? When you're in the church, I'm just going to do whatever I want in church. No, we adjust to the culture. Who dictates that culture? Christ. He wants us to teach. Now, look at Titus. Now, sometimes, this is what I thought. Sometimes, some people might think that I'm just not good enough to mentor someone. But let me tell you, you are. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at what it says, verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to too much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Do women need mentoring too? Absolutely. Both men and women need mentoring. And especially here it says, teach the younger women to love their husbands, because sometimes we're stupid. I'm sorry, that's not a good word. Sometimes we're not smart. Sometimes we're not the most lovable person. I know that from experience. I'm 44 years old, guys. I should know better sometimes. I should, but I don't. I know what I need to do. Sometimes I don't. I need my other men, my Christian men, to help me get where I need to be. When I see people like Bobby Fry who say, I spent time with the kids this weekend, makes me want to go spend time with my kids this weekend. When I see people like Kelly Sheffs who's working all day in his shop, and then he's going home to his family, fixing his house, and I'm like, man, I want to fix my house. When I see people like Jeff Powell building his stuff for his little kids, that is all mechanical and all that, I'm like, man, I wish I could do that, but I can't. Seeing other men do good things makes you want to do good things, don't it? When I see people like DJ Ishimwe, who is a single dad, who drives to Tennessee every weekend so that he can see his son while he works here 6 days a week, makes me want to be a better father. When I see people like Tom Pfeiffer, who love his family, who love his kids, who works so hard every day so that they also can have things that he can spend time with them, coaching them, it makes me want to coach. And I could name every single one of you men here in the church that have made a difference in my life, because iron sharpens iron. Men sharpen other men. Women sharpen other women. Christian men, that's what we need in our congregation. That's what we need in our community. Christian women, that's what we need. We need people that can step up and say, I want to make a difference in my life, in somebody's life, in this church. That's what we need. And God has called you to do that. God has called you. He's appointed you to do that. Will you step up? Will you rise up? Will you be the one that brings other people to Christ? Will you be the one? If you are, this invitation is for you. If you are, think about it. You can be a mentor. You can be like Christ. Let's stand and let's sing.